Today's daf is Menachos daf Peches. We left off on daf Pei Zayin Amud Beis. We are holding at the bottom of Pei Zayin Amud Beis at the Mishnah. So yesterday we started the 10th parak of the Masechta, and the first Mishnah in the 10th parak discussed the two different dry measures that they had in the Mikdash, or according to Rameir, three different dry measures, the Isaron, the Chatzi Isaron. Rameir held that there was an Isaron Machuk and an Isaron Gadush, so that's where he got the three different measures. So that's the series of Mishnayos we're in, discussing the different measuring utensils that they had in the base of Mikdash, different clay shares that held different amounts and different measures. So we're holding out the Mishnah, says the Mishnah, Sheva there were seven wet measures, meaning utensils that would hold liquids in the base of Migdash, and they are as follows: hin, v'chatzi hin, v'shlishas hin, urviyas hin, lug, v'chatzi lug, urviyas halug. Those were the seven measures for liquids. Seven liquid measures in the base of Migdash. Rav Elazar Rabbi Tzadik Omer, shnasos hayu behin. Rav Elazar Rabbi Tzadik says no, there weren't seven different kelim. There was one kli. It was the size of a hin, and in that kli they would have different lines marking off the chatzi hin, the reviyas hin, the shlishas hin, the lug, the chatzi lug, the reviyas lug, all within that one kli. So that's the way that they would do it, instead of having seven different kelim. Ad kan la par, va ad kan la ayil, ad kan la keves. So they would have marked off if this is a nesachim that go along with a par, this is how much oil you have. If it goes along with an ayil, this is how much oil you have. That's the way they would do it. Rabbi Shimon Omer, lo hayasham hin. Rabbi Shimon says they didn't have a hin. V'chima hayahin mishamesh. What was the whole purpose of ever having a hin in the Mikdash? There was no, they never needed a hin, so they didn't have a kli that was the size of a hin. So how did Rabbi Shimon get seven liquid measures if they didn't have a hin? They had a lugu mechza measuring cup in order to measure out the oil for the chavite kohen gadol, where you would have a lugu mechza baboker, a lugu mechza ben arba'im. They would split the three lugin into one and a half in the morning, one and a half in the afternoon, so they would have to measure that out. So they had a lugu mechza measuring utensil instead of a hin measuring utensil, because they had no use of the hin measuring utensil. The Gemara is going to explain they once had a use for the hin measuring utensil. That was in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, though. Since the days of Moshe Rabbeinu was never needed again, so he doesn't think that makes sense that it would be one of the seven that are in the Beis Hamikdash. So when it comes to that Kravas Minchas Chavite Kohen Gadol, the Torah says, as we've discussed several times already, that the mincha is brought by the Kohen Gadol, but he splits it in half, brings half in the boker and half in the erev, half in the morning, half in the evening, half in the afternoon. And that's what the pasuk says, Ze korban Aaron ubanav asher yakrivu la'Hashem biyomi mashachaso, asir seifa solas mincha tamid, machatzisa baboker umachatzisa be'erev. So the Briska Rav wonders, in addition to this din of machatzisa, which is clearly said about the flour of the Korban Mincha, whether there's also a din of machtsisa on the shemen that goes along with the Korban Mincha. Is there a din to split the shemen that comes along with the Korban Mincha? And he proves from our Mishnah that l'chora, why would you need a kli shares of a lugu mechtsa for the shemen of the chavitin? After all, we're going to learn soon that they had a separate kli to measure out the amount of oil they would need for each of the chalos that they would make in the Chavite Kohen Gadol, the 12 loaves that they would make with the Chavite Kohen Gadol, each got exactly one revius of oil. So they were already measuring out the oil that they need for each of the chalos, so why would they have to have this extra step added in of splitting the oil into exactly two halves, and then from that half measuring out six revius for the for one for each of the chalos? What's the purpose? So says the Briska Rav, what you see from here is that there's a din of machatzisa on the oil, that the din of splitting it in half, it's not just a din that you need to have the right amount of oil for each chalos, that you get from the revius, but there must have been a din that you split the oil in half, just like there's a din that you split the flour in half. Brisk Rav just says suffik whether the Levona that comes with the Mincha also has a din of Machtzisa. But he says from our Mishnah you see clearly that on the Shemen there definitely was a din of Machtzisa. The Mincha Schinach, however, says no, it's only a din by the flour that you have a din of splitting it in half. By the Shemen, by the Levona, we never have such a halacha. That's why the Mincha Schinach says that if Kohen Gadol dies after he brings the Machtzis HaMincha Baboker, after he brings his half of the Korban Mincha in the morning, the Kohen that's appointed in his place is able to bring the other half of the oil that the Kohen Gadol in the morning didn't do, and the other half of the Levona that the Kohen Gadol left. It's only by the Solas that he has to bring a new Isaron and split it, because the din of splitting it, that you have to split your own Korban, is only a din by the flour, says the Minchas Chinuch, not a din by the oil and by the Levona. But unclear what the Minchas Chinuch is going to do with our Mishnah. It seems like a very strong proof that the Brisker Rav has. What's the point of adding this intermediary step where after you already took the three lug for the day's worth of oil, and once you and if you're going to in the end take out a revius at a time, why have that intermediary step of splitting it into a lug and a half from morning and a lug and a half at night? It must be that there is such a din of machtzisa even on the oil of the chavite kohen gadol. Okay, says the Gemara Tan Rabban, we have a brisa that presents three shitos about the seven midos, the seven liquid measures. Sheva midos shalachayu b'migdash. Revius lug, v'chatzi lug, v'lug, revius ahin, u'shlish sahin, v'chatzi ahin, v'hin, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. The same seven that we mentioned in our Mishnah, just in the exact opposite order. Rameir says, the seven are as follows. Hin, v'chatzi hin, v'shlish sahin, revius ahin, v'lug, v'chatzi lug, revius lug. Also the same seven we mentioned in our Mishnah, but in the order that it's mentioned in the Mishnah. So the Gemara is going to deal with, obviously, what's the difference between Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Meir. They're both mentioning the same seven liquid measures. They're just listing them in a reverse order from each other. Rabbi Shimon Omer, lo yesham hin, v'chimahaya hin mishamesh. Rabbi Shimon said, no, there was no hin measurement, because of what purpose would the hin measurement serve? There is nothing in the Beis HaMikdash that requires a hin. So esmi avitachtov, so what was the seventh liquid measure if there was no hin? Elamidi yasei rishel lugu mechza haiso sham shaboa yamode l'chavite kohen gadol lugu mechza baboker lugu mechza ben arbayim. Rather, they had a lugu mechza measure that they would use for the chavite kohen gadol, so that the kohen gadol could bring a lugu mechza in the morning and a lugu mechza of oil in the afternoon. Amru lo, so the Chacham said to Rabbi Shimon, why do you need a lugu mechza to measure out 1.5 lugin for the kohen gadol? Chatzi lug haisa sham. You, after all, you did have a chatzi lug measuring cup. Vefsher l'shar b'chatzi lug. Just take three chatzi lugs, and that would be enough. Just use the chatzi lug measuring cup, and presumably it means, as Rashi says, shlosha chatzai lugin baboker, or shlosha ba'erev, and that's it. Use the chatzi lug three times, and that's how you'll measure a lug and a half. Why did they need a lug and a half measuring cup? So Amar Lahem, he said back to them, afle divrechem, chatzi lug velug, lo yaseh. He says, well, according to you, why do you even need the chatzi lug or the lug measuring cup? Revius haisasham. After all, they had a revius halug measuring cup. V'afshar l'shar b'revius. Why don't you just take, if you want a chatzi lug, take two revius. And if you want a full lug, take four revius. And if you want a lug mechza, take six revius. After all, you can measure everything out with the revius. Okay, even according to you. Elazak lalay b'migdash. Rather, this was the rule. Klisha m'shamish midazu enim m'shamish midacheres. They had different kelim that would measure out the different measurings, and you would, even though theoretically it could have been done with the smaller kelim used multiple times, they would have different kelim for the different measurings. If you look at the Tosos on the top of the page, afle divrechem chatzi lug v'lug lo yaseh shervius haisham. For how are the Rabbanan going to respond to that? It's a very strong taina. The Rabbanan said, no, it can't be there was a lugu mechza measuring cup, because you could just use the shlishis halug, the chatzi lug, three times. What do you mean? And how are they going to respond to the taina that then all you really need is the smallest measuring utensil and just use it several times? So Rabbanan Savri delo dami. What's the girsa on the side? Delo dami demida shelugu mechza lo tzricha elo lechavitin. The lugu mechza measuring cup was only needed for the chavite kohen gadol. Aval chatzi lug tzarich l'mili tuva, the soto, the todo, the menorah, meaning the rabbanon are going to be moda that you're not going to use just a single measuring cup for everything, but you're not going to make a measuring cup that only has one purpose. You'd want to use measuring cups that could be used for several things. So that's what the rabbanon are saying. The chatzi lug, you need to have a chatzi lug, because chatzi lug could be used for a lot of things, for the soto, the todo, the menorah. So you're not going to just use two revias halugs. You'll use a chatzi lug, but a lug umechza is only used for one thing. It's only used for the Chavite Kohen Gadol. It's not worth making a separate kli that's only going to be used for one thing. That's the taina. Now, Rashi had said, again, when the Gemara suggested that the Rabbanan said to Rabbi Shimon, why would you make a lugu mechza, just use a chatzi lug three times, right? That's the way Rashi understood the kasha, is just use a chatzi lug three times. So Taras HaKodesh raised the following question. He said, well, wait a second. They had a lug measuring cup. They had a chatzi lug measuring cup. So to get a lug mechza, what would you do? Would you do the chatzi lug three times? Wouldn't you use the lug and the chatzi lug, and that way you'll get a lug and a half? Why would you use it? Why would the Gemara suggest that they would do the chatzi lug three times? So there is a Tosfos earlier in the Masechta, Daf Chav Gimel Amud Aleph, where Tosfos says that the truth is, after you measure something out in a kli, especially oil sticks to the surface of the kli. So you're not actually getting the full measure, because when you pour it into the bowl of the carbon, so you're actually missing whatever is stuck to the walls of the kli. So Tosfos says, Elamai, you have to say, Lo nitna Torah l'malachei hasharis, we're humans and we can't measure better than that. So that little bit doesn't count as being chaser. But if we have the ability to not lose out that little bit, you know, Lo nitna Torah l'malachei hasharis, but we do have to try our best. So says the Taras HaKodesh, that's why the Gemara suggested using the Chatzi Lug three times rather than using the Chatzi Lug and the Lug. Because if you use the Chatzi Lug and the Lug, you're going to lose out on the oil that sticks to the surface of the Chatzi Lug as well as the oil that sticks to the surface of the Lug. You use the Chatzi Lug three times, you're only going to lose out on the oil that sticks to the surface of the Chatzi Lug, which would mean that the Gemara's kasha is don't use three Chatzi Lug kalim, different kalim. You have to use the same Chatzi Lug kli three times so that you don't miss out on the oil that sticks to the
second pour. You're going to miss out anyway.
No, you won't, because if you're using the same,
right,
the same kli, if no matter how many times you pour it, there's no more oil that's going to stick to the side of the kli than, you know, with three times than there will with one time. It's the same amount of oil that's going to stick to the side of the kli.
All right, so in the first pouring, you're missing out on, let's say, 1/100th of the volume. Nothing,
2/100ths
of the volume.
No, not 2/100ths of the volume, because the second pouring...
Another 1/100th.
I'm saying, you're not going to miss out another 1/100th of the volume, because when you pour the second time, the same amount that was stuck the first time is still going to be there. That never disappeared. It's still there. So, meaning, if you pre-oil the walls of the kli, then everything else that goes in the kli is going to pour out. Right, so I think that's what he's saying. Although the truth is, well, then when you refill it, it's not refilling with the full volume; it's only refilling. Yeah, I don't know. That's what Taras HaKodesh says. Yeah, I hear the taina. Okay, the Brisker Rav also wonders. He says the medida of the astronos and the lugim is not only as we discussed yesterday. What these measurings, is it specifically so we can know how much you have? We just need to measure out to dafka to know how much you have. Brisker Rav says no, it doesn't sound like that. It sounds like there's a mitzvah be'etzem ha-medida, that there's a requirement to actually do the medida, to do the measuring, and that's why you need these midos of kodesh. So what kind of tain is this? Is chatzi lug ha'isa sham? So you could be mishar b'chatzi lug. Why do you need the lugu mechza? If the whole purpose was of the medida was just to know how much you have, so I understand the shita of the chacham that you could be modeid lugu mechza b'midas chatzi lug. You could use the chatzi lug, but since there's a mitzvah be'etzem ha-medida, so you can't be mekayim that mitzvah by using a chatzi lug. You have to use dafka, the right kli, to mekayim that mitzvah's medida. So the Brisker Rav writes that the chacham hold that the measuring of the lugu mechza is not for the sake of the mitzvah's medida, it's for the sake of the mitzvah of machtsisa. Remember, this is the same brisker Rav that said on the Mishnah that we bring a raya from this Mishnah that the din of machtsisa, of splitting the chavite kohen gadol into two halves, is a din in the shemen as much as it is a din in the flour of the chavite kohen gadol. So he says over here, the din of medida, of measuring, that was fulfilled by the three lug that you measure at the beginning and by the revius that you're going to measure for each loaf. The whole function of the lug of machtsa was not for the mitzvah's medida, it was for the mitzvah of machtsisa. So that's what the Chacham are asking. Enochinami for the mitzvah of medida. So you can't ask such questions. Why use this kli and not that kli? That's the mitzvah of medida. We have a mitzvah to dafka use these kinds of kelim. But if the whole mitzvah is just machtsisa, to split it into two even parts, so then the Rabbanan have room to ask such a kasha. Now why would you use this kli? Why don't you just use the half lug kli three times? And that's the point of the Rabbanan, according to the Brisk Rav. Same sheet of the Brisk Rav, just coming up again over here. Okay, says the Gemara Viter. We're at the two dots on Pei Ches Amud Aleph. So in this Brisa, we had what seemed like a machlokes from Meir and Rabbi Yehuda about the liquid measures that they had in the Beis HaMikdash. The only thing is, they listed the same seven liquid measures. They just listed them in reverse order from each other. So there are going to be two shitos to explain the machlokes. Number one, Am Rabbi Yochanan, Beirut Seimido Sika Benayu. The nafkamina between them is, what about when you fill a kli up with oil? Sometimes the oil is able to go just a bit above the rim of the kli. So is that oil that goes above the rim of the kli, because the oil is pretty thick, is that oil kadosh as well? That's what they're arguing about. The one that lists it off from bottom to top, from the smallest to the largest, holds that the Beirutze Amidos, that this extra becomes kadosh. And how did it work? Revius Yavle Rachmana Lemoshe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Revius. And he said, okay, start with this. Know that this is a Revius Halug. Now, using this, figure out how much a chatzi lug is, how much a whole lug is, how much a chatzi hin, a revius. Figure everything out, starting with the revius halug. So if you measure starting with the smallest kli, you're by nature going to include the beirutzin. Why? Because when you pour from a small kli into a larger kli, the beirutzin of the small kli, the extra little bit above the rim of the small kli, will spill into the larger kli and will fit in the larger kli. So when Moshe Rabbeinu was figuring it out, he wasn't only using the actual contents of the walls of the kli, but the beirutzin amidos were included as well. But lamandi amri mala lamata, but the one that holds, that lists off the measures, starting with the largest and working its way down, kasava berutze midos lo niskachu, holds that the berutze midos are not kodesh, v'hin yav le'rachman al-Moshe, and in fact what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Moshe was not the smallest of the kelim and told them to figure out the rest. He gave them the largest of the kelim, he gave them a hin, and said, okay, now figure out the rest. V'amalei sha'er, baha, measure with this, the kadnafki berutzin, and that by definition is going to have to exclude the berutzin, because if you pour from a larger kli into a smaller kli, so the beirutzin of the larger kli aren't going to fit into the smaller kli, right? Even proportionally, it's not going to fit into the smaller kli, and therefore the beirutzin are by definition being excluded if you're going in reverse order. If you're going from the larger to the smaller. So l'chara, according to this, we could prove from our Mishnah that if you hold that you count mimala lamata, so then the Beirutze Midos are not Niskadesh, right? So our Mishnah counts in Mala Lamata. Our Mishnah counts Hin, Chatzi, Hin, Shlish, starts with the Hin and works its way down. So L'chora, one could prove from our Mishnah then that if this is in fact true, that whenever you count Lamala Lamata, you're telling me to exclude the Beirutze Amidos. So L'chora, our Mishnah is paskening that you're supposed to exclude the Beirutze Amidos. So the Achronim just point out that it's very difficult, the Rambam is very difficult, because the Rambam paskins that the Beirutze Amidos are Niskadesh. And yet, in Hilchos Klei HaMikdash, Mishnah Melech points out, in Hilchos Klei HaMikdash, when the Rambam lists the Midos in the first parak of Hilchos Klei HaMikdash, Halach Yud Zayin, the Rambam writes that he counts it milamala lamata, like our Mishnah counts it. So if this explanation of the Machlokes is correct, that anyone who counts milamala lamata excludes the Birutzei HaMikdash, why does the Rambam list it milamala lamata and include the Beirutzi Amidos. He includes that extra little bit. So it's a very difficult Rambam to understand. So the Mishnah Melech writes that it's only within the Brisa, where Rameir and Rabbi Yehuda both list the same seven liquid measures, they just list them in reverse order, that you have to say Behechreich, that anyone who lists it Milmal Lamata must be excluding the Beirutzi Amidos. But if you have a statement of Tanaim that only has one Shita, and it lists seven Midos Halach, and it lists them whatever order it lists it, so that doesn't have to mean that they're taking a stand on the Beirutzi Amidos. It's only because there's nothing else that they could be arguing about, and we know that there's some Machlokas Rameir and Rabbi Yehuda, and both opinions appear side by side, so you say, okay, the one that says Milamal Lamata must be excluding Beirutzi Midos, Matan Lamala must be including Beirutzi Midos. But otherwise, there's no reason to assume that a Tana that just appears independently, based on whether he's going Milamal Lamata or Matan Lamala, that it's including or excluding Beirutzi Midos. That's the Mishnah Lamel. So the Mishnah Lamel says, so why does Rambam Dafka go Milamal Lamata? Because he's quoting the Lashon in the Mishnah. But in Chanami, Paskins, that the Beirutzi Midos are Niskadesh. That's all one explanation of the Machlokes Rameir and Rabbi Yehuda. The second explanation, Abaye Yomer Dukuliyam Beirutzi Amidos Ikol Meir Niskachu Ikol Meir Lo Niskachu. Beirutzi Amidos, you could say what you want about them. Maybe they're Niskadish, maybe they're not Niskadish. That is not the point of dispute between Rameir and Rabbi Yehuda. V'hacha b'Meleihim Kamiflugi. Over here, they're arguing about how to fulfill the word Meleihim. Mandi Yomer Ilmal Lamata Kesavri Meleihim Shlo Yechsa V'Shlo Yosir. That the one that says that we count Milamal Lamata, that we start with the largest measure and work our way down, holds that Malayim means that you can't have any extra or be missing any either. Because when you pour from a larger kli into a smaller kli, again, working with the same assumption that God showed Moshe the largest kli, the hin-sized kli, and told Moshe to figure out the rest, so by pouring from a larger kli into a small kli, you do it slowly, and there's no foam or bubbling because you're doing it very carefully and very slowly. When you pour from a smaller kli into a larger kli, you'll just pour the whole thing over very quickly, and therefore you're not going to be as precise because there will be some foam that comes up, some bubbles or whatever it might be. So that the one that says Milamal Lamata holds Milayim Shlyachsa Vishlo Yosir, that you can't be missing any, can't have any extra. Umeandom Matalamalam Milayim Shlo Yachsar Aval Yosir Aval Yosir Milayim Karina Bay. The one that says that we count Mimata Lamala holds, yeah, you're not allowed to be Machsir, you're not allowed to have any less, but even if it's Yosir a little bit, that's still called Malayim, and that would still be valid. So that's the Machlokes between Ramei and Rabbi Yehuda. Fine. Amar Mar. Rabbi Shimon Amar Lo Yesham Hin. So Rabbi Shimon said, well, why would they have a hin? The hin measurement was never used. So I asked the Gemara, Shapir Kamal Rabbi Shimon Rabbanan. Rabbi Shimon has a very strong tie to the Rabbanan. Why would you have a measuring utensil that was never ever used in the Beis HaMikdash? So it's a very strong tie. Why would they have a hin? Rabbanan have a hin to Avon Moshe L'Shem Namishcha. No, they needed the hin because Moshe Rabbeinu used the hin to make the Shem Namishcha. T'chsiv Shem and Zayis hin. So Mar Savar Kivin Duladoros Lavat Tzorich Lefi Shoh Hu Da'avdei V'Ignos. So Rabbi Shimon holds, since they didn't need it Ladoros, they only needed it for that one time because that was the only time Shem Namishcha was produced. It was in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. After that, they never produced Shem Namishcha again. After that, Avodasad Mechanachtan, that the to be Mechanich L'Klei Shares, they didn't use Shem Namishcha. They just do the avod, just using the kelim, is what gave them the kedusha. So they only produced Shem and Mishka that one time. So Rabbi Shimon holds, well, if they only used it that one time, okay, so they must have had a hin in the days of Moshe, but then they probably were gones it. They put it away. What do they need it for anymore? The idach and the chacham hold kimah to hava. No, why would you get rid of it? If you have it, you keep it. So they had it. Did they ever need to use it again? No, but they had it from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, ignaz implies that it had kedusha. That hin had kedusha. So the Brisker Rav just raises a very simple chicken and egg shaila, meaning the each of these liquid measures had to be kadosh. They were klesharis that had kedusha. How did they become kadosh in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu? Mishichas and mekadash. That was the mishicha of the Shemana Mishcha that was mekadesh them. Great. But the hin was used to make the Shemana Mishcha. How did the hin become kadosh if it was used to make the Shemana Mishcha? It couldn't have become kadosh until they had Shemana Mishcha. So that's the Brisker Rav's kasha. So what you have to say is this was an exception. Mikdash David points out. You have to say that b'dibor peh they were able to be mekadesh the hin just by saying this will be the hin that we're going to make the Shemana Mishcha. Or I think they quote from Salvechik that he held that maybe for anything that you can't have, mishichasa, and for anything that you can't use the shemen amishcha, so then you can use the avodasan mechanachtan. Then just like the din ledoros is going to be, I mean, why would dibor be mekadesh? We don't have any such model in Jewish history that to be mekadesh klei shares, that it's dibor that works. To be mekadesh animals or whatever, different. But klei shares, there are two ways. There's either mishicha or there's avoda. So Soloveitchik said, it's not like the Mikdash David that it was just dibor. He said, no, if mishicha couldn't do it because they didn't have shemen amishcha, so it must be that it was the avoda that was mechanich, that when they made the shemen amishcha, that itself made it kadosh. Fine. Amar mar. So we said, okay, if they didn't have a hin, so the Mishnah said, so what's the seventh liquid kli according to Rabbi Shimon if they didn't have a hin? So los hagid l'mayil, who says you need a seventh? So maybe according to Rabbi Shimon they had six. Why do we have to fill up this number seven? So kedam ravina gemiri shtei smichos petzibor hachanami gemiri deshev midos shalach hayi b'mikdash. Just like we have a tradition that there were two smichos that were done b'tzibor. On a carbon tzibur, normally only a carbon yachid requires smicha. But just like there's a tradition that there are two carbonos tzibur that require smicha, there's also a tradition that there were seven liquid measures, liquid kelim in the Beis HaMikdash. So Blazer Rav Tzadik Omer, Shnasos Hayibahen, Veles Leishiva Midos. So the Gemara says, well, wait a second, that if you have such a tradition, what's Rav Blazer Rav Tzadik going to do with that tradition? Remember, Rav Blazer Rav Tzadik was the one in the Mishnah who said, they only had one kli, it was the size of a hin, and they just made lines in it, like our measuring cups. It just had different lines on it to measure out for the different carbonos. What's he going to do with this, the fact that there's a tradition that you need to have seven? So either Leslie, he didn't have such a tradition, or his tradition was not that there were seven liquid kelim, but seven measurings within a single liquid kli, that there were seven lines on the kli to measure it. That was his tradition. Now this is the Lashon Gemiri does not necessarily mean Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Gemiri just means that we have an ancient tradition, right? There's the well-known Shitas Rambam in the Hakdama to the Perush HaMishnayos that any time there's Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, there can never be a machlokas about the Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. So how could you have over here a Blazer Rabbi Tzadik saying, Leslie, I don't hold to that Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Isn't this a machlokas about Halacha L'Moshe Misinai? So that's what you have to say, that according to the Rambam, Gemiri doesn't mean Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Gemiri means that, or even Hilchsa Gemiri, the way the Netziv writes in the Sakdama to the Pirish on the Shiltos, doesn't mean Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. It just means that it's a long-standing tradition. So it's a long-standing tradition that they had. They don't remember exactly where they got it from, but such a long-standing tradition that they would dafka have seven midos halach. New Mishnah. Now this, once we listed the seven kelim of lach, now we're going to list what each one does. Why would you use these seven different kelim? So revius mayim shameshes. What would they do with the revius? Revius mayim lemitzora. They would have the revius of water that they would shech the carbon mitzora over. Revius shemen lenazir, and the revius of shemen for the loaves that a nazir has to bring as part of his carbon. Chatzi lug mayim shamesh. What would they do with the chatzi lug? Chatzi lug mayim lesota. They need a chatzi lug of water for the sota. V'chatzi lug shemen letodah. Chatzi lug shemen for carbon toda for the chametz loaves of the toda. Ubelug hayamodei the kol aminachos. The lug was used for all standard carbon minchas. You'd have a lug. Afilu mincha shel samech yisaru nosin la samech lug. And even a mincha that had 60 astronim of flour would have 60 lug of oil. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov omer afilu mincha shel samech yisaru ein la el luga. No, a mincha that had 60 astronim of flour would only have one lug of oil. Shnemar ul mincha lug shemen. So this is a major machlokas tanaim. How much oil would go in a larger carbon mincha? 60 astronim of flour. Same one lug of oil or more? Or do you have enough lug to match up? So this is important because with probably the most famous comment in the entire Maseches Menachos is the comment of Rabbi Zeira that kol roi lebile in bile makevespo, kol shein roi lebile bile makevespo. That you don't need to actually do the belila to mix the oil and the flour together, but you need a proportion of oil and flour that you theoretically could do belila on. So there is a machlokas rishonim over here regarding this machlokas tanaim. Rashi and Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis in his first pshat says that which we say that you're not allowed to bring, the Gemara is going to say later on Daf Kuf Gimel, that you're never allowed to have a carbon mincha of more than 60 isaron of flour. So is that according to both opinions over here, or only according to one? Why can't you have more than 60 asronim of flour? Because then you're not going to be able to do the belila properly. Because the one lug of oil is only going to mix with up until 60 asronim of flour. More than 60 asronim of flour, the one lug of oil is not going to mix properly. Well, maybe that's only if you hold that there's only one lug of oil, no matter how much flour you bring. But what if you hold like the sheet over here, that for each isaron of flour, you bring another lug of oil? So if you have 60 asronim of flour, then you have 60 lugan of oil. So why not go to 100 asronim of flour and have 100 lugan of oil? It's not going to create a problem with the blila. So that's how Rashi writes in his first pshat in Yilchesan Beis, that according to the Rabbanan, who disagree with the Rabbi Lozer ben Yaakov, and hold that you bring as much lugan of oil as you do asronim of flour, so then you can bring more than 60. There's no limit of 60. However, Rashi in the second pshat over there on Yilchesan Beis, and also the Rambam in the 17th parak of Maisar Kabanos, writes that Bein l'Rabbanan, Bein l'Rabbi Lozer ben Yaakov, you're never allowed to bring a mincha that has more than shisha mesronim. Apparently it's not a blila issue. It's some other issue that you're never allowed to have a korban mincha that has more than shisha mesronim. Also, just like Rabbi Lozer ben Yaakov, even though Rabbi Lozer ben Yaakov and the Chacham disagree about the amount of oil that you bring with a mincha that has many esronim, it seems that when it comes to how much lavona you bring, everyone's going to be moda that you only bring a kometz of lavona for no matter how much flour is going to be in the korban mincha. It's only one kometz of lavona, and it says that way explicitly in the Tosefta. It's strange. Minchas Chinuch and Mitzvah Kuf Tes Zayin Oz Dalid writes that you bring a kometz of lavona for each isaron of flour. He's beferish against the Tosefta. Tosefta says no. Lavona is always one kometz of lavona. How much oil? Okay, machlokas tanoim. How much oil you bring for many isaronim of flour? But lavona is always going to be exactly one isaron of flour. Why should there be a difference between the shemen and the lavona? So we discussed this once. The Rishonim discuss whether the Lavona is a chelek of the etzema carbon, or it's just like a machshir for the carbon. That the shemen and the soles are part of the carbon. That is the carbon. The carbon is defined as a carbon of flour and oil. What's the lavona? Is the lavona another ingredient in the carbon, or is the lavona just something you add to be machshir the carbon? So if you hold the lavona were an ingredient in the carbon, so then you would do it proportional to the rest of the ingredients in the carbon, and you'd have many lavonos. But the Tosefta is telling us that it's not true. A lavona is not an ingredient in the carbon. A lavona is a machshir of the carbon. The machlokas tanaim is what the shemen is. Is it primarily a carbon of flour and the shemen is just a machshir? Or is the shemen also an ingredient in the carbon? That's probably the machlokas tanaim over here. Okay, fine. Vaitu in the Mishnah. Shisha lapar, the six lug measurement, which is half of a hin, because there are 12 lug in a hin, half of a hin measuring was used for the par. Va'arba la'ayil, the third of a hin was used for an ayil. Ushlosh alakeves, and the quarter of a hin was used for the sheep. Shloshu mechza la menorah, there's 3.5 lug that had to be poured into the menorah, which meant chatzi lug l'kol ner. Each ner of the menorah had a half a lug, so they used a half a lug measuring cup to fill in each branch of the menorah, each ner in the menorah. So the Gemara now is going to have three svekos that were raised, two of them by Rebbe, and they're all going to be answered, followed by the person who raised the suffix giving a tremendous compliment to the person who's poshate the suffix. That's the structure of the next half an amud. So Yosef Rebbe v'kakashale. Rebbe had the following suffix. Revius lama nimshcha. Why would they have to be mekadesh a revius, a kli that held a revius? Imitzora chutzu. If it's for the sake of the mitzora, well, that was done by chutz anyway, so it didn't need to be kadosh. Vi'i nazir, lechem nazir b'shchitas ayil the kadosh. And if it's to measure out the oil for the lechem of the nazir, well, the lechem of the nazir became kadosh when they shechted the ayil, so you wouldn't need to be makdish the oil before you make the lechem of the nazir. It all becomes kadosh later when they shech the ayil. So why would they need to be makdish this revius? So amle Rebbe Chiya, shabaha yamodin chavita koin gadol, revius shem lekol chala v'chala. No, they needed to be makdish because the chavite kohen gadol, even though it was three lug in total for the day's worth and a lug mechza for the morning, a lug mechza in the afternoon, they would need to use the revias to measure out for each loaf that they would make. They made six loaves in the morning from that lug mechza, a revias for each loaf, and for that it had to be kadosh. So Kari Alei Rebbe was so excited about this, he complimented Rebbe Chiya by saying, "Me'eretz merchak ish atzasi, a man from far away has come and given me good counsel, good advice." Fine, Rebbe Chiya came from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, so that's why he commented about Rebbe Chiya, that he came from so far away and he helped me out. So a big yasher koch. Okay, number two. Chatzilug mayim mishamish. What do they use the chatzilug for? So Yasser Rebbe Kakashale. So the Mishnah said the chatzilug was used for the for the menorah, but let's see. So Yasser Rebbe Kakashale. Chatzilug lama nimshach. Why did the chatzilug have to be holy? Is sota v'chichulun hu detzrich l'kedushay mayim kedoshim k'siv. Why would you need to be mekadesh the water for the sota? They already used mayim kedoshim. You don't need the chatzilug to be mekadesh that water. And if it's for the korban toda, well, the lach metoda become kadosh by the shchita of the zevach, of the animal. So you don't need the chatziluk to be mekadeshit. The reason the chatziluk kli had to become kadosh was because they would use it for each ner to fill the oil of each ner of the menorah. So that's what Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi's son, said to him. So Amar lo, Rabbi said to Rabbi Shimon, Ner Yisrael kachoya. Ah, you candle of Israel. So you're exactly right. That's exactly what they use the chatziluk for. Thank you for being poshet this suffix. Why Dafka over here does he call him the Ner Yisrael? He's not quoting a pasuk. He's just calling him Ner Yisrael. So Tosus points out that you also have this expression Maseches Eruchin and Daf Yud when it says a mice over there that Rebbe made Tisha Chaserin v'nira chodesh bismano, that he made 9 months chaser in a row, and still the chodesh appeared bismano. The moon still appeared in the right time. So it also uses the expression Ner Yisrael. So he says what you see is that it's an expression used when it has something to do with light. Whenever there's something to do with light, with the levana or with shemen of the menorah, so that's when you use the expression of Ner Yisrael. We also learned earlier that there is a relationship between Ner and Talmud Chacham. The Gemara Masechta Shabbos says that Azor b'Ner avin lo banim talmidei chachamim. That if a person is careful about lighting, a woman is careful about lighting Neros Shabbos or Neros Chanukah, different Neros, so that she's gonna, it's a segula to have banim talmidei chachamim, to have children who are talmidei chachamim. We learned that shemen zayis is related to Talmidei Chachamim. So there is an association between a Ner and a Talmud Chacham. Ner mitzvah, the Torah or. The or of a Ner is symbolic of Torah. Fine. The third suffix that's followed by a big compliment to the person who's poshet the suffix. Am Rabbi Yochanan, Am Rabbi. Ner shekavsa nitchan Hashem and nitchan apsila. Ketzadosa. Let's say the ner extinguished before it was supposed to be extinguished. It blew out, and the oil and the wick had already become ashes. Ketzadosa. What do you do? So mativa v'nasim b'shem and madlika. So you clean it out. You put in more oil and you relight it. So Yosef Rabbi Zeker of a coming byulei. So Rabbi Zeker raised the following suffix. When you refill it with oil, you put in the full amount of oil, or you put in however much was left at the time that it burnt out. It has to be that you put in the original amount. Otherwise, how are you going to know exactly how much to put in? How are you going to measure it? So, and if you can say, well, estimate and try to figure out exactly how much you need. Well, then you wouldn't have 7 liquid measures. You'd have an infinite number of liquid measures. It would be a chatzilug and every single amount between a chatzilug and zero, because you might have to refill the ner of the menorah with less than a chatzilug. So obviously you fill it fully. So kari aleva derech salak rechav al davar emes va'anavat tzedek. So you said about him that you're such a wonderful person and a humble person, and you came with a righteous solution. Itmanami, Amr Rabbi Avraham, Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Amr Lamer, Rabbi Abba, Amr Rabbi Chanina, Amr Rabbi Ner Shekavsa Nitchan Hashem Nitchan Apsila. Same case, the Ner is blown out and everything turns into ashes. Ketzarosa, what do you do? Mativa v'nosim b'Hashem and Kamidu Rishonu Madlika. You put in the same amount of oil that you had originally and you relight it. Period. Amar Rav Huna Brei Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Sheshes. Ner Sheb Mikdash Shel Prakim Hava. The Ner of the Beis HaMikdash was made out of Prakim. Now Rashi over here says Prakim doesn't mean removable parts. Prakim means bendable parts. That when they wanted to clean out the menorah, they were able to bend it over. It was attached by such thin pieces of gold that it was actually flexible. So Kasavar Kiksiv Kikar Umiksha Amenorah V'Neroseh Ksiv. When it says that it's supposed to be made out of a single solid piece of gold, it's talking about the menorah and the neros. So if it couldn't be bent, then you would never be able to clean it out properly. So ask the Gemara in this. Wait a second. So the Brisa says, whoa, they do misalkan ba'ol. They would take them off and put them in the oil. And they would clean them with a sponge of madlika, and then they put an oil in it and light. It sounds like it was removable. So now we're assuming like the Tana that says that it couldn't be moved from its place, that they wouldn't move it from its place. But frankly, Gemara, wait a second, that doesn't sound like it couldn't be moved. It sounds like it wouldn't be moved, but it could be moved. Says Gemara, Aleima lo haisa zaza mimakoma. Don't say that lo hayu mezizino, so that they didn't do it. Rather, you should say it could not be moved from its place. It was bendable. It was not removable. So it's machlokas tanaim uman chacham Reb Lazer, and who are the chacham? It's Reb Lazer. Tanya Reb Lazer b'tzad gomer kimintas shalzav hayula al gabak shumativa dochel klapi pia. There was a little plate of gold on top of it. When they would clean it out, they would push the gold, the little plate down, so they can make some room to get in there to clean it out. Kshunosin b'shem and dochel klapi rosha, and then would put oil in it. They'd replace the plate on top, and there was a little hole in the middle where they would be able to pour the oil in. Ubeplukta dani tanayim, some machlokas of the following tanayim. Detani menor v'nerosel bos min akikar, vein malkachel machtosel min akikar. The menorah and the neros of the menorah were all made from the same solid piece of gold, but the kalim that they would use to clean out the wicks and the ashes from the menorah were not made from that same solid piece of gold. Rabbi Nechemiah says, menorah isaba min akikar v'lo neroseha u'malkachel machtoseha bos min akikar. No, only the ikar base of the menorah was made from that solid piece of gold, but the actual neros on top were not made from that solid piece of gold, implying that they were removable. So here you see, machlokas tanaim. Could you or could you not remove the neros on the top of the menorah? B'maikom miflgi, what are they arguing about? Meaning, where does each one derive his shita from? B'haikra, they're arguing about how to darshan a pasuk. D'tanya, we have a brisa that darshans the pasukim as follows. Kikar zav tahor yaseh osa. You should make it out of a solid piece of gold. L'man l'menorah shabam in a kikar. We learn from there that the menorah is made from a kikar of zav. Minayin l'rabos neroseha. How do I know that the neros were also made from the kikar of zav? Tamalomer es kol hakelim ha'ela. Yachal shani marba af malkalcheho machtoseha. So I might think to include the kalim that are used to clean out the menorah, they should also be made from that same kikar of gold. Tamalomer osa. That's why it says osa, to exclude malkacheh machtoseh. But the neros were made out of that same piece of gold. So question Rabbi Nechemiah, Rabbi Nechemiah. But wait a second. Previously we said that Rabbi Nechemiah hold that enes held ein neroseh bos min akikar. Now we're saying he holds that they are. So trei tanaim v'alibi Rabbi Nechemiah. Two tanaim disagree about what exactly Rabbi Nechemiah's shita was. For Rabbi Shuben Karcha Omer menorah ba min akikar ve'ein malkacheh machtoseh v'neroseh bos min akikar. Even the neros did not come from the kikar. Ve'alamani. What do I do with the pasuk? It's called a kelim me'ela. Implies that something other than the basic menorah was made from that kikar. Shayu kelim shelzav. That's just to tell me that the kelim were made out of gold in general, but not from that same piece of gold. Frankly, more zav behedik sivav asisas nerasa shiva velus nerasa veir al avar panel malcha machsel zav tar. It says beferish in the pasuk that it was made out of gold. Why do I need an extra reboy in the pasuk to tell me they were made out of gold if they weren't made out of that same kikar? So lo nitzrucha. It's coming to tell me that the mouths of the candles also had to be made out of pure gold. One might have thought that since the mouths of the candles anyway are going to become blackened from the fire and the oil and whatever's there, so what's the point? Why make it out of gold just so it's not going to look like gold anyway? So I might have thought that this would be a situation where we would say, you can go a little light on the gold, it doesn't have to be pure gold over there in that particular spot where it's going to get blackened anyway. Beloved Zav Koldu, make like a, you know, some type of lower rate gold instead of having pure gold. That's what I might have thought. Kamash Milan, that's what the extra reboy in the pasuk tells me, that even the P Neros were also made out of pure solid gold. Okay, we'll stop there.